Welcome to Ask the Pastor. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, and the question today is, should a Christian bear arms? This is the third part of this question. We've dealt with it the last 2 days. If you need the tapes on this, there are CDs on this, we'll be glad to send them to you. They're all free of charge, and so you can look up, of course, on our website, thepersuader.org, and you can find many things on there that's all free of charge. So may God help us. But today, we want to conclude, I believe we'll try to conclude, is it right for Christian or should a Christian bear arms? We told about the government, how they're pursuing some things today, the DHS, which is the Department of Homeland Security, back in even 2007, was aggressively recruiting pastors to persuade their congregation to give up their guns when the government commanded the community to do so, because they use Romans 10:13, which says that the government, God ordained it, and God says that submit yourself to government. But it also told what the government was to do, that was to do evil to those who do evil, to punish them, and to praise those who do good. And our government's doing almost the right opposite. But because of all the situations we're facing today, and the problems with shootings, drive-by shootings, and school shootings and so forth, all the killings and terror attacks and so forth, the question is, should a Christian bear arms? And so I'll tell you, the people who try to take the pastors and make them gun-grabbing stooges, they're twisting Romans 10:13. It's not right. It's not right. And so we looked, it's an Old Testament example, and I know the government hollers church, separation of church and state, but they don't want the church to have anything to do, but yet the church should be the one that lays down the ground rules of the Bible, the Word of God. That's what the pastors are for, the men of God are for. And so, but if you do what God wants you to, like Peter said one day, the government tried to tell him not to preach anymore in his name, and he said it's better to obey God than man. If you obey God, you're going to obey what the government should do. In other words, what the laws they should pass. Now, they're making some that's contrary to the Word of God, trying to push it out and whatnot, and trying to take away our guns today, our weapons of defense. And Jesus, they use such things as, of course, that Peter, whenever Jesus was being arrested, he took out a sword and cut off a servant's ear. And Jesus said, put up your sword. And they said, in other words, we're not going to fight. It's not right for our servant. We're not fighting the war, in other words, Jesus said. But he did. They don't ever quote what Jesus had said previous that night in the upper room when he said, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. And the garment that there was to sell was the hematon, which is the outward garment used to cover them at night. And the Old Testament said, if you borrow money from somebody and you're the one who loans it to someone, don't take their garment as a pledge and keep it overnight. Now, you could take it for a day, and they say, I'll bring you the money or repay it by tonight. But you don't take it overnight, because it's important to him to keep him warm in the night. But Jesus said, and therefore, by him saying, go sell your garment and buy one, then you say, but that was a high priority that Jesus was saying about having an arm, arming them. Why? Because there was going to face some many situations and persecutions. And so I said yesterday, therefore we have a right, a God-given right, and even a duty to defend ourselves and our family against anyone attempting to take our life unjustly. In other words, the U.S. Constitution gives it to us. The Bible gives it to us. We use the Old Testament illustrations about it. But today I want to use another Old Testament illustration of what we're talking about in the book of Esther. The Persian king was influenced by some of the people there who didn't like Daniel, and it wasn't Daniel, but there at that time specifically, but didn't like the Jews, and as a result, they hated the Jews, and they wanted the king to issue a law that on a certain day that they could wipe out all the Jews of all the 120 provinces of the Medo-Persian Empire. And that was a reversible law that was on the books, and that king signed it. He was duped into it. But they're trying to get to Mordecai's who they were trying to. But Esther 3:13 says this in Esther chapter 3, verse number 13. He says, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even unto the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. In other words, a certain time come, they were going to all be killed. People would walk out, kill a Jew, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with it because the government said, do it. But yet, as we see that information there that he talked about, it, Queen Esther appealed by the help of Mordecai, appealed to the king so that the Jews could defend themselves. And the Bible says in the book of Esther, chapter 8, verse number 11, it talks about this. Whenever he come along and found out that Haman was the one who was causing the problem, Haman wound up being hung on his own gallows, but yet Esther was able to come along and beg the king for a permission to do something to save her people. Well, the Medo-Persian Empire had said that the law is no reversing it, but still, what happened was the king said, wherein, verse 11 of chapter 8 of Esther, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and the province that would assault them, both little and women, and take the spoil of them for prey. In other words, he granted the Jews permission to arm themselves, to even go against what they had previously set as a government for. Folks, God ordained the government, and two reasons. That was to praise that which is good and do evil against that, to punish that which was evil. So as we look about this, we see now those who want to take away our rights to bear arms, claiming that you have no right of self-defense as Christians and must let the aggressor take our life without resistance. What they do, they quote Matthew chapter 5, verse number 39. As Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, but he said, well, verse 38 said, you have heard that men said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto thee in verse 39, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. They quote that, to turn the other cheek is what we need to do. Even to the evil? No, that's not right. They're wrong in two accounts. First, they neglect to see that the Jews, that Jesus was speaking here about an assault that is not life-threatening. Slap on the cheek is so painful, it may be painful and embarrassing, but it doesn't take your life. Now, the gun-grabbing advocates of the world today would put words in Jesus' mouth, which he never said. They would change this like this. If someone stab you in the back with a sword, turn around and let them stab you in the heart. That's not what Jesus said. And that's not biblically correct, all right? So we see that's what people use. They take the words and twist them, turn the other cheek. But that's not a life-threatening thing. The second thing we said, we will say that's wrong about this, they neglect to see something. They fail to recognize that Jesus is actually what he's actually teaching. Don't take personal vengeance when you are wrong. You know, when you're wrong, don't take it. There's a vast difference between defending our life when we're attacked and going after someone who is no longer a threat to your life. So God has delegated to the civil magistrates, that's the government today, to take vengeance on evildoers, to punish them. But God has also given every human being the right and even the duty to defend their own life against any attack. May God grant us the wisdom to expose the lies as well as the wolves in sheep's clothing in our land before it's too late. Folks, they're clothing themselves and saying, well, we passed the law and we've done thus. And so if it's against God's word, it's not the right kind of law. The only thing government was to do was to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. And they're not doing it today, but they're trying to take away your rights that the Constitution gives you, the amendments give you, the Second Amendment gives you in the Constitution, and the God-given right to bear arms to stand up for your family. Now, I know that we're not to go out and take another man's life. I understand that. And somebody said, well, it's the guns that kill. No, it's the people who kill. And even if they take away the guns, I'll guarantee you the evil people will still be able to get guns. They'll come up with them some way, somehow, and then we'll be left behind. Folks, you realize some countries that have the less people wanting to rob the country is Switzerland. One of the countries there, and I don't know what the law stands today, but it used to stand such that their army was to be their people in their house, would have a AK-47 or some kind of a big gun in the house, every one house, because at the moment's notice, they didn't have a standing army, but at the moment's notice, they may need to call them out, and they grab their gun and go, sort of like our Minutemen did in the early days of our country. And you know they have less robbery than any other place that at least I'm told that, less robbery in those places. How many people would want to break into a house where they know that the man in the house has an AK-47? Folks, is it right to bear arms? Yes, it's right to bear arms. And it ought to be known that we bear arms rightly, doing it right. It's the right thing to do. In other words, so the question has been for 3 days now, should a Christian bear arms? Well, I can answer with a definite yes, because the Bible tells me so. And God give us that God-given right. I'll not stand by idly and let somebody come in to rob and to rape and to ravish and destroy my family, to rape my wife and to rape our children and do those things against them. I'll not stand idly by if I'm at all able. So I say it's a right to bear arms. It's a right to bear arms. God-given right. God's biblically given right. Our Constitution, our forefathers paid a price so that we'd be able to do so. And help us, Lord. We need to pray that God would help us to do so and do what's right. Learn how to use them. Stand up for it. Keep your gunpowder dry. You're going to need it in America before it's over. May God help us. I tell you, they're coming into churches now and just shooting at a moment's notice. It's not right. It's not right. It shouldn't be that way. But if they knew that some people had guns there, and even in their schools today, people say, well, we want a gun-free zone. No, they know where it's at. But if the students who were capable and had the right mental capacity and whatnot, whether it be the teachers and whatnot in the public schools or even those in colleges, if they'd have those weapons and the robber, the penetrator, would knew that they had them, I guarantee you they'd take a second thought before they'd enter into one of those places. So I'm here today to tell you, by God's given biblical authority, you've got a God-given right to bear arms and protect yourself. Do it wisely. Do it as God directs. And there is times to turn the other cheek, but it's not when they're raping and ravishing and trying to destroy. So I pray that maybe you get some help from this. If you want a message on this, Lord willing, we'll be preaching this in a church. We'll have a complete message on it that we'll be glad to send you the CD if you'll just call us for it. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.